Okay, everybody, say it's good to be back. Baruch Hashem. We had the Tisha B'Av last Sunday, and then we had the Sunday before we dealt with the Nyanei Tisha B'Av. But we're back to our sugya at hand over here, Maseches Ksubis, focusing on Lamdish sugyas, as you'd say, as they say today in the yeshiva world. There's a lot to talk about Parshas Veschana and Shabbos Nachamu and Tu B'Av. So much to talk about. I'm sure you've heard already plenty over Shabbos. But the one insight that strikes me when you read Parshas Veschana is, you know, it's perhaps one of the most difficult stories in all of Tanakh to read, is Parshas Veschanan. Moshe Rabbeinu was such a great leader, great person, Eved Hashem, and he asks for one thing, you know, a simple request. He says, "Please, Hashem Baruch, I want to go into Eretz Yisrael." And he asks 515 times, and the Pnei Shuvim Brachas works out how many times he davened, how many tefillos a day, how many days, works it all out. And Hashem says, "No." Hashem says, "No, you're not going to go in." You know, and you know, every year we read it like we hope for like a better ending. You know, we hope for like a surprise ending. Like this year, Hashem says, "Okay, fine, you know, I give and you can go in this year." You know, we almost like we root for Moshe Rabbeinu's success, yet we know the ending of the stories. He's always rejected, and then you read the psukim, even gets more depressing because Hashem says to him, "Okay, fine, you can't come in, but let me show you how it looks." And then he says, "Well, you can't come in, but Yeshua's going to go in." You know, the famous muscle of, you know, your kids beg you for something, you tell them, no, they can't have it. And then you say, well, but I'm going to show you what you're not getting, and your younger brother's going to get it. You know, can you imagine how that feels? And I gave a muscle in my shul yesterday, you know, you show your kids, you know, kids beg you, they want to go to Disneyland. You say, no, we're not going to Disneyland. But they say, you know, let me, and then you pull your kids over, you say, here, look at the computer. You see, that's Disneyland. That's where you're not going. But your younger brother, he's coming to Disneyland, you're staying home. You know, it's heart-wrenching. So again, the terutzim are out there. I'm not here to understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I think the takeaway of Parshas Veschanan more than anything is perhaps the way we learn to deal with, perhaps more than anything, the way we learn to deal with tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us what it means to daven and what davening goes all about, and it's not always about getting the answer you want. Davening is not always about I ask, I receive. Davening is about building a relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is made through tefillah. Through tefillah, we build a relationship through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that relationship is irrelevant to what the answer is. I don't know what I did over here. That relationship is irrelevant to what the answer is. So even if the answer is no, that relationship is still very much connected. The Medrash points out that the gematria for the word tefillah is shira. It's a song. But they also point out it's also Veschanan, right? That's the Medrash. But it's also yeshara, which means it straightens us. Tefillah makes us straight. What do you mean makes us straight? Through davening, we have a whole new outlook in life. It straightens us. Davening is not always about getting the answer. If davening were to be all about the answer, then Moshe Rabbeinu should have stopped after the first because Hashem knew he wasn't letting him in. The answer is davening is not about necessarily the answer. Davening is about the relationship. It's about the process. It's not about the end result. And Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that even though you don't get the answer that you wanted, you still built that relationship, the very meaningful and very practical relationship that you have. So there's a lot to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu's not being answered, so to say, and how also you learn from the psukim. It's fascinating. You know, most of us, after we get rejected at number 515, we'd be depressed. Clinical depression would be very acceptable today. There'd probably be a name for it, you know, and we'd go, we need time alone. I'm not making chayzik of therapy or depression. These are all serious ailments, Chas v'Shalom. But Moshe Rabbeinu, if I was Moshe Rabbeinu, I'd be pretty depressed. Your whole life mission and goal, you beg, you plea, and Hashem says, sorry, no. I'd be really depressed. The last thing on my mind would be is continuing to guide the Jewish people. I would totally be done, finished, checked out. You'd find me somewhere on a cruise ship or something. I don't know. I'd be done. But what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He throws himself back into leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us that when life doesn't go your way, the answer is not to give up and reject, but the answer is perhaps to throw yourself more into the people, give back more, do more, be more involved. So these are some of the, there's a lot to talk about in this parasha, very loaded parasha from a tefillah perspective, and obviously there's a lot to talk about from a Shabbos Nachamu Tu B'Av, how Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us legacy and Klal Yisrael's, you know, Am Yisrael Chai, Nitzchius approach, but that maybe we'll have to get to for a different time. But these are some of the short messages in parasha's Ve'eschan. Okay. Let's get back to the sugya at hand. We haven't learned it in a few weeks. A lot of gishmaka things to get to in the sugya. So let's go back to the Gemara one more time. We're holding Ksubis Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. You know, I think it's a big schus today. I think now after Tisha B'Av, I don't know of any yeshiva or kollel that is open or functioning. They're all closed, which is fine. I happen not to be against it. You know, you hear people say, oh, these guys in yeshiva, they get off. Now, they don't have that much time off. Serious yeshivas in Kailim don't have much vacation. So if they have off 3 weeks in the summer, I'll forgive them, and they'll have a month in the Nisan. I'm more than happy for them to get vacation time. But Lamai said, this time now, after Tisha B'Av, almost everyone is off. The yeshivas are off, the Kailim are off, the Bat Midrashim are off, and they need vacation. But Baruch Hashem, we're here to literally hold up the world. We're like the Velozhin Yeshiva over here during the night shift. You know, we're holding up the yeshiva, making sure everyone's still learning even in the morning, especially on a Shabbos Nachmu Sunday. Everyone's definitely waking up late this morning, and it's raining, so that's for sure a reason not to learn. So Baruch Hashem, we get to hold up the world and keep the world going in the Olam HaTorah. Okay, so holding over here in the Gemara and Ksubas, just to jog our memory a little bit. Okay, so what are we learning, guys? Sometimes I have to ask myself that. What are we learning? Okay, so we're learning Ksubas Dav Lamed. Okay, what's going on in Ksubas Dav Lamed? We're talking about the parasha of Knas. Person's ma'anis, a mafata, a girl, he has to pay a knas. Now, we learned in the Gemara, there was machloikis amaroyim, what type of girl is eligible for the payment, what girl is not eligible. So the Gemara had a machloikis. One sheet in the Gemara, she has to be a girl that's yesh bahavai. There has to be a girl that you're able to make kedushin to. If this girl would walk down the street before you touched her, and you would have given her a ring, and that ring would have chalois kedushin, you'd be able to make a marriage with such a ring. So then, after you are ma'anis or mafata her, such a girl you have to give knas to. So all you need is yesh bahavai, which means tvisus. Kedushin go through. Now we learned in many shurim that tvisus kedushin depends on the severity of the arayis that you have. For example, you have a chayvei krisis. Someone who's a chayvei krisis to you, there's no tvisus kedushin. Chayvei lavin machloikis. Chayvei asei. Kedushin is type, so you'll have to measure the level of the girl to figure out. So we spoke a lot about Bu'ula L'Kayin Gadol. We spoke about that for many weeks. Then the Gemara has another sheet that it's not about necessarily getting married, but it's about staying married. Right? It sounds like a bumper sticker somewhere. It's not about getting married, but and it happens to be a very true yisoid. It's easy to get married. It's much harder to stay married. But it's about having a relationship that Chazal are not against. It's about having a relationship. Presumably, we'll have to make this a little clearer in a second, but it's about having a relationship with that is sanctioned by the rabbis, not just that you're able to get married. Sometimes you're able to get married, but it's not a relationship that's sanctioned by Chazal, meaning you can have a situation, let's say for a classic example, Amon l'Kohen Gadol, Grusha to a Kohen Hedjit, that marriage is valid. A Kohen marries a Grusha, that marriage is valid as any other marriage. But Chazal would do whatever they could to break up that relationship. Not so much the relationship, but really break up their being together. Meaning Chazal cannot stop the marriage. The marriage is 100% chal. The Kohen goes over to a Grusha and gives her a ring in front of two Edim. She is an Eishes Ish L'chol Davar. If a man goes into Mizan with her, he gets the death penalty. The question is, Chazal will then come into their home and say, listen, we want you guys to sleep in two separate bedrooms. We don't want you being together because you two living together is a violation. So that's what we call Yesh B'Havai. And the Gemara went through a half an Omer of Nafkaminas back and forth. So now the Gemara starts over this. Omer Rav Chizda. Hakol Moidim. Everyone agrees. Who's the everyone? Whether you hold it's about getting married or whether you hold it's about staying married, but Baala Nida, let's say a person is Ma'anis and Nida, right? Your average girl today, again, you have to remember, the age for Ma'anis is a very small window, it's between 12 and 12 and a half, which is going to be important for this sugya. But the Gemara says, if you're Ma'anis and Nida, Shemishalim Knas. Everyone holds you have to pay Knas. The guy's Ma'anis, a girl, and she happens to be, at that time, she's a Nida. And I have to remember, Bizman Hazeh, girls are a Nida until they usually get married. Because they get their period at whatever age, 11, 12. And they don't take off that tumah until they go to a mikvah. In the times of the Gemara, wasn't like that. Why? Because in the times of the Gemara, at least during the Beis HaMikdash, they used to eat truma. If they were a Bas Kohen, they would eat truma, and that stuff needed to be eaten by Tahara. So they would go more frequent to the mikvah. Today, a girl, once she gets her Nida, she doesn't go to the mikvah until she gets married. As we mentioned, Shulchan Aruch writes, in the end of Hilchas Nida, beginning of Hilchas Nida, the tumah Nida does not go off with time. If a person gets her Nida at 11 and doesn't do anything until she's 65, so she'll still be a Nida. She hasn't bled in X amount of years, it doesn't matter. That tumah doesn't go off. So if your average girl, let's say by 12, might have already got a Nida, she already had a period, so she'd already become a Nida. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Rav Chizda says, everyone agrees if you boil a Nida, you have to pay Knas.
Even the non-Bas Kohanim in those days,
unless they want to go into the base of Mikdash, they want to catch him. Yeah, so that's what the Gemara talks about in Ksubis. Rav Moshe talks about this in the Tshuva, that they used to. It was well known when a girl had a Nida back then. It wasn't a secret. They used to wear different clothing. It was well known. That's why Rav Moshe has a Tshuva where he talks about a shayla which comes up a lot with young couples about whether or not couples. Let's say, for example, you have a newly married couple and the girl's a Nida and she doesn't want anyone to know. So whether or not she doesn't have to keep her chukkas around, I usually call it nosy parents and in-laws. Because when a young couple gets married, the parents and in-laws, they don't care whether or not she's a Nida or not. They want to know whether or not she's pregnant or not. Because we have very nosy parents and in-laws today. I hope not to insult any parents and in-laws here. But that's usually what they are. They're looking for the first year whether she's pregnant, she's not pregnant, is she pregnant? If everyone left the couple alone, they'd be able to get pregnant if you didn't much of them so much. But in any case, so everyone's looking what they're doing. So a lot of the young couples, they're very uncomfortable. They don't want to show the world that they're doing Nidus. Or Moshe writes in the Tshuva, there's no head to not to keep our chokas just because of embarrassment. And he says, what do you mean? The times in the Mishnah, it was well known when we were Nida because they had to cheshbon things for going to the basement. Yeah, so there was ways of knowing, perhaps even, we'll talk about it more in one of the sources today. But I gratitude to tell couples, this is a big insight in life. We all think everyone is looking at us. Usually it's not the case. People don't care that much about us. They'll move on. You know, don't harp about it so much. They'll move on. But in any case, it's something that young couples deal with. So, Zaktimar, what's the Hakol Moedim? Everyone agrees that if you boil a needle, you have to pay the knas. Why? So the Gemara explains. The man dama yesh bahavaya. If it's all about making kedushin, hanami yesh bahavaya. You can make kedushin to a needle. So if you remember, we spoke at length 2 weeks ago about a Gemara and Kedushin. The Gemara and Kedushin had a special drasha that this tefisa is Kedushin by a Nida. Why is that a Chiddush? Because the Nida is Chayvei Krisus. She's an Erva, she's an Arayas. And yet there's a special Gzeis HaKasav that if you make Kedushin to a Nida, this is what we spoke about, the whole idea of a Chuppas Nida. This happens very often today. You give a ring to a girl, she's a Nida, she still gets married. So the way the Gemara reads, that the reason why a Nida gets Knas is because she's Yesh Bahavaya, because you can make Kedushin to her. But look how Rashi learns the Gemara. Rashi says, Hanami Yesh Bahavaya, HaMekadish Isha Bimei Nida Saimikudeshes. Rashi learns that why is that Tzvisa's Kedushin to a Nida? Because if you give her ring in her current status of Nidas, she can be Mikudeshes. So the question is, but this girl is eventually going to take off of that status. Meaning all the other Arayas in the Torah, they're pretty much lifelong Arayas. Let's say, for example, Achoisa, your sister. You can't marry your sister no matter what's going to happen because she's your sister forever. That's never going to change. But a Nida is a changing erva. She's a Nida now. Tomorrow she goes to the mikvah. She's not a Nida. So you could have learned the Gemara that if a guy wants to know whether or not he's allowed to be Kaddish a Nida, the reason why there's three exclusion by a Nida is not because of now, but because Asher and the Yosid, you'll be able to marry her. But Rashi didn't go that route. Rashi said, Basha Husham, right now, in the situation where this girl is, she's eligible for marriage because you can marry her the way she is as a Nida. So if you look to number three, Reb Shtaymi makes this observation. He writes, said Reb Shtaymi, why did Rashi have to say that? And that's true. If you're Mekadosh and Nida, the Kedushin goes through, as we saw in the Gemara and Kedushin. But points Reb Shtaymi, you could have just said better. Why? Why did Rashi have to limit the accessibility of Kedushin to a Nida and say, well, because while she's a Nida, she can get married? Say better, Zaktub Steinman. Say that she can get Kedushin in a day from now. So, Eina Chanami, right now, in the massive that she's in her current situation, I can't marry. But she, meaning, we're trying to figure out, is this woman eligible for marriage? The answer is, yeah, tomorrow she's eligible for marriage. So why did Rashi have to get himself into a situation where he's able to explain? She's eligible for marriage because right now she can get married. Why didn't you say simpler? She's eligible for marriage because in a week from now she'll be able to get married.
He's teaching you more.
So the question is the definition of Yesh Bavaya means right now? Or Yesh Bavaya means there's potential here for marriage? L'cha'ira, Reb Shtaymi's pointing out that Rashi's telling us, in order to be Yesh Bavaya, it needs to be Achshav, right now. I don't want to hear what's going to be in a week. I don't want to, again, I don't mean to compare to the other arayas, which things can change, right? But there you need things to happen. Someone has to die, someone has to get divorced. Here, you know, it's a time issue. All she needs to do is go to the mikvah. But Rashi seems to be saying that's not good enough for Yesh Bahavaya. Yesh Bahavaya means right now, right now. Now, when's the right now? When you boil her or after the story? So we had this old machloekis rishayim from a while back. When does the clock start? Does the clock start from when you go over to her? So when you go over to the lady, she's a nida. Okay, good. Now after you finish, you boil her, now you have a mod b'din, it's a week later, now she's already a tahira. She went to the mikvah already in between. Right? So obviously Rashi is talking about, L'chayra is talking about a case, even if after the fact, she's still a nida. So we don't care, says Rashi, because you can easily give kedushin to her. But Zaktib Shtaymer, why can't you say, because I can give kedushin to her in a week? The answer is, Rashi holds, that's not sufficient. Yesh b'havaya means right now, I don't want to wait till later. That's L'chayra what comes out from Rashi.
You go another direction, maybe Rashi's saying it's not an erva.
Oh, good. That's what I want to get to in a second. Now, we spoke about this a little bit last time. Some of these Rambam Kermis, if you remember, were on 2 weeks ago. But I think we went through it a little too fast. I wanted just to go over it again. The whole erva of a nida is very unique. Because, first of all, it's an erva that goes off and comes on, which is tamazay strange. There's
no
mamzeris. And there's tvisas kedushin. Where do you ever find an erva that has tvisas kedushin? And on top of that, it's the only erva that you're allowed to stay married to and you're allowed to be alone with.
Well, because it affects every single woman.
Oh, good.
Every normal woman.
That's the practical ramifications. But the question is that a gilui on the lomdus or is that just reality? Meaning, maybe in lomdus the erva of a nida is an erva like any other erva, but you know, Chazal have to understand the situation, so they can't treat it like that. There's the famous Ran in the beginning of Ksubis that talks about why is there no iser yichud with your own wife who's a nida? And we don't think of it like this, but your own wife who's a nida is a chayv krisis to you.
By
chuppas needed because you weren't together yet, right? Meaning the Ran over there is trying to figure out why isn't there, that's why we know by a chuppas needed, right? Because you have pas pasali, you have other svaras. But it's just a fascinating thing, we don't think about it like this, you know, but your wife, when she's a nida, is a chayv krisis to you. Ah, you're allowed to live in the same house, you're allowed to be together. The answer is either because there's fundamentally something different about the arayis, or there's nothing fundamentally. But Chazal said, "Listen, this is we can't move out. You can't have your wife move out two weeks out of the month. It's just not practically. You're not going to have a normal structure. You look at the housing crisis like now. You expect a guy to own two homes? It's impossible, right? It's hard enough to own one home, right? So, but is that a giloy into the lumdus? So if you look over here, number four, we mentioned this last week. This is a piece from the Brisker Rav, the end of the Griz al Rambam. The Rambam has letters." And I don't know exactly who he was writing them to, but at the end of the Rambam, if you look at the end of the Griz al Rambam, so he writes over here a letter, he's writing back, and I don't have the Griz al Rambam on my computer, so I photocopied from another sefer who quoted the Rambam, and I looked it up, it's come out accurate, exactly the way the Brisker Rav said it. So the Brisker Rav said like this, he says, we know from the Gemara that Nida stands out. Nida does not have Tvisa's Kedushin, and Nida does not have a Mamzer. Yet Nida is a Chavi Krisis. So the question is, what does that tell? So you can clear a typical Brisker Chakir. The fact that Nida has Tvisa's Kedushin, and the fact that Nida does not have Amzeris, is that a telltale sign that it's a fundamentally different type of an Arayis? Or no? It's the same Erva like every other Erva, but this Erva has a loophole. How do you understand it? I mean, if you remember the Gemara in Kedushin, the Gemara in Kedushin had a Kasha. The Gemara in Kedushin said, why don't we learn out from Nida that all Arayis have Tvisa's Kedushin, and all Arayis have no Mamzeris. And the Gemara gave a very interesting answer. If you remember, what was the Gemara's answer? The Gemara says, well, I'm stuck, because I have one Pasuk, B'achos Isha, which is an Erva. There the Torah says, no Kedushin, no yes Mamzerim. I have another Pasuk in the Chumash by Nida, where the Torah says, yes Kedushin, no Mamzerim. Well, which one do I compare to? So the Gemara says, you know what? When I'm not sure to go to Chumra, cool, I'm going to go to Chumra. That was the Gansa answer of the Gemara. It's a very unique answer. Which means the Gemara sounds like, if you learn the Gemara very simple, the Gemara is saying, you're right. I could have went that way, I could have went this way, but I decided to go to Tzad Chumra because it's always better to be from. But the other way to learn the Gemara, which is the way the Brisker Rav is going to develop, really is, you know, the Gemara's answer is going to be that there's something fundamentally different about the Erva or the Arayis called Nida, which explains why it has these loopholes. So the Brisker Rav explains, number four, Nida loy rak the tavsi ba kedushin ragam beikur esura veetzem hachevtsa shaloy ladam lishar arayis v'chavila. Says the Biskirov, you could have learned the Gemara that the Gemara is saying is even after all the small clears, Nida is a typical arayis like any other arayis, and so it's so much like a regular arayis that the Gemara even had a possibility to learn all the arayis from it. But it happens to have a loophole. The Torah has a loophole that you're allowed to, you can give Tvisa's Kedushin Torah. And the Torah has a loophole that there's no Mamzer. But there's nothing fundamentally different about its makeup. Says the Biskir. Again, and I think you could have learned the Gemara very Geshmak that way. And the Gemara flows very nicely in the Kedushin that way. But says the Biskir, that's not shot in the Gemara. That's not true. Nida is a fundamentally different type of Arai. So how is it? It's not a marriage-based Isser. Points out to Biskir, all the other Issurim that we have, the many of the arayas, they're also not just, I don't want you to live with this woman, I don't even want you to marry this woman. And we spoke about this before. Is that not wanting to get that? What causes that not marriage availability? Is that because we don't want you to live with that person? Or that's because the Torah just decided that you two can't get married? Pashtus, that not being able to get married is because we don't want you living together. But the point is, as a Biskur, of those relationships are not only are they not allowed to live together, you can't even get married to each other without the context of having any real relationships. Rak Maisa Habiya B'Shaita Asura. Says the Brisker Rav, that's where Nida is different than the other Arayis. Nida is an Isser Bia. There's nothing wrong with being married to a Nida. You can be married to a Nida. The Torah has no problem with you being married to a Nida. The Torah doesn't want you living with a Nida. That's the heart, the Torah's Akpada. Says the Brisker Rav, that's very fundamentally different than all the other Arayis. Achos Isha, your wife's sister, the Torah doesn't want you marrying your wife's sister. Torah doesn't want the marriage. The marriage, the nesuin is what the Torah has a problem with. Mashiach, when it comes to a nida, it's not the marriage. The Torah has no problem if you want to be married to a nida. The Torah has a problem if you want to live with a nida. Therefore, says
why doesn't he just be mechalik, except for Achos Isha that you mentioned, the nida is the only one that the issue comes off? Because in other words, at the end of the day, it's 7 days, it comes off, whereas by all
right, the right, and therefore what? But therefore what?
So that's why the Kedushin is typhus. Because it's not nitzchi, it's not the
but right now, by Shehusham, she's a nida, right? Right now, she's a nida.
The mere fact that it could go on.
How does that change the now? In the right now, she's a regular nida. So you're right.
If you're doing the Kiddushin, let's say, out tonight.
No, but you're not. It comes later on. You're too lumdish. People aren't so lumdish. The guy's only need it right now. He gives that Kiddushin right now. So we'll see. There's a svar like this in the Ritva, which we'll have to try to figure out what he means. But the Pashup Shad is the fact that, you're right, no one's denying the fact that the Erva of a Nida goes off and comes back on, which obviously is a telltale sign that something's different. But you could argue that as long as it's on regularly. For the duration of the 14 days, whatever the days she's going to be tummy. Again, she's tummy until she goes to the mikveh. It could be for 20 years. Until she decides to get to the mikveh and do a proper tevila. Shulchan Aruch writes that Yisha doesn't need it until she goes to... But the Shulchan Aruch writes gevaldically. Shulchan Aruch writes until she goes to the mikveh karoy. I mean, you could jump in the mikveh all day long, but if you're wearing a chatzitza on you, it's not going to make a difference. Right? So, right now, in the matzah that this girl is in, she's a regular arayis. So the Biskurov's chilek is interesting. The Biskurov's chilek, what you could say, Biskurov's chilek is that the nida is a different structured erva. It's not an erva about relationship. It's not an erva about marriage. It's an erva about relationships, as opposed to all the other arayis that are marriage-based arayis. Now, he explains over here, that's why she doesn't become a zayna. I think about this. We learned the sugya a little bit about a zayna. Again, Zayna is not a prostitute that we think of today, you know, who's selling herself. Maybe one sheet like that. Zayna means that you live with somebody you're not supposed to live with. So what happens if a guy lives with a nida? Does she become a Zayna? It's very negeah. You have a girl who's a girl who was not so from, and she lives with men that she's not supposed to. So if she becomes a Zayna, what's a negeah too? She's also to a Kohen now. So does she become a Zayna? So he says, no. Because Mushum she'ena b'chal isha asur li nase loy. Because what do we say? The rule of thumb to be a Zayin is to live with someone that you're not allowed to marry. Okay. So Zakti Biskurov, this Yisoid. This Yisoid of the Biskurov is that Nida is a fundamentally different type of an Erva. It's not an Erva based on marriage. It's an Erva based on relationships. Now, Lefizeh, according to this Biskurov, you could have learned the Gemara slightly different. Then when the Gemara says, Hanami Yesh Bahavaya, not like Rashi said, because you have, well, this is goof of why there's Tfisas Kedushin during Nida. Why is there Tfisas Kedushin during Nida? Because the problem with a Nida is not marriage. The Torah has no problem with a relationship vis-a-vis marriage with a Nida. The Torah only has a Bia problem. So the Gemara is like, Mamash like Rashi says, Hanami Yesh Bahavaya means even Basher Usham, even the way she is right now. Even as a Nida, there's Tfisas Kedushin. Why? Because the Torah has no problem with marrying a Nida. The Torah only has a problem if you want to live with a Nida. So if you're focusing on the Yesh Bahavaya, Rashi's 100% right. Maybe you can nutz and kvetch the Rashi's ishtikal right to this Biskurov, right? The reason why Rashi, not like Epstein is kasha. Epstein had a kasha and Rashi, why don't you look into the future? Says Rashi, I don't need to look into the future. I could look in the right now because the right now is the definition of what Isra Nida is. The way the Biskurov is explaining it, the right now is the telltale sign that right now she's Tavisa's Kedushin, because Anita is only about the marriage. It's only about the illicit relationship and not about the marriage. So it's very kishmak. This Biskurov and the Rashi works very nicely. The problem is there's a Ritva number 5 on the bottom right corner. The Ritva writes, Hanami Yesh Bahavaya. We're trying to explain why is there Havaya, Pirish, that feel tema the nida lechazi lechupa. Even if you hold the nida can of chupa, that's nesu in the second stage of marriage. Mikomachim kedushin tofes lebo. Meaning, even though there's a big tumul, if there's nesu into a nida, whether or not you can have nesu into a nida, achnasas lishos and chupa, but everyone holds you can have kedushin. Now, good. So he's quoting Kabbalah Kedushin Tovus Lebo. Veruyo hi lekaima kishet itoher. Now here's where things get a little bit more complicated. What was the next mandam in the Gemara? First mandam in the Gemara holds yesh bavai. You have to make marriage. So that's easy. Neither you can have marriage. It's before Shagamar Kedushin. What's the next step? Yesh bahavaya. What does yesh bahavaya mean? You can stay married. I am. Ruyo lekaima. What does ruyo lekaima mean? Is that what? Ruyo lekaima means we let you live together? No. No, that's Yesh Bahavaya. Ruy Lekaima means presumably something more than that. It means Chazal's not going to force you to get divorced. Now, does that mean Chazal are going to allow you two to live together? Yeah, no, because Chazal will never let you live with Anita. I can't, that's a Chayvi Krisis. Teretz says Chazal will allow this marriage to continue. Why? Viter. Because there's nothing wrong with the marriage. The marriage is not the flaw. The Bia is the flaw. So now you can argue, maybe they won't allow you to stay married in a relationship where you can never have beer. Okay, that's a question, maybe.
Maybe the Ritva's talking about because it's going to come off.
Right, but if you look at it like the Biskurov, that there's nothing wrong with these two people being married forever and ever, so that's Roy Lekaima. Roy Lekaima means they could stay married because we have no problem with their marriage.
Is there any issue of the fact that it could be that she won't be in need any longer? She doesn't necessarily have to. She could... refuse to go to the mikveh. It's not a bullet.
But it depends on how you're learning the problem of need. Let's, for example, Amon l'Kohen Gadol, or let's put Grusha to a Kohen Hedget. Grusha to a Kohen Hedget, there's two problems. There's the marriage, then there's the living together. So if you can get through the first stage and you can strip the marriage with Chaz Chayvi Lav and Eftvizis Kedushin, but then Chazal say, good, but there's something wrong with you being married to a Grusha. Now, what do you have by Nida? By Nida, we have nothing wrong if you two want to be married for the rest of your life together. We just can't let you two live together.
You don't think if there was some physical, verifiable way that you knew that she could never get out of Anita status, Chazal wouldn't attempt to get her to
maybe?
What I'm saying is, Kayama here acceptable?
Could be.
Is Kayama here?
Yes, no, they don't, right? There are cases in Nida where every time there's
that's correct.
A woman, they do force
them. We do force them to get divorced, right?
That's what I'm saying.
That's technical. I don't know if that's a gilu in the mahus of an erva. I don't know if that shows you're an erva. It's just a practicality. Marriages need to be based on physical relationships. If you can't have physical relationships, you can't have marriage. But my point is that if you look in the Ritva is trying to bavon. What does it mean, Roy Lekaimu? So if I asked you, how do you learn the next line of the Gemara? She's also Roy Lekaimu. Why is she Roy Lekaimu? Why are they allowed to stay married? So I would say because they're allowed to be married and they're allowed to stay married because we have nothing wrong with the marriage. The marriage doesn't bother us. So Dr. Ritva, no. V'roi hi Lekaimu kisha titoher. It's Roy Lekaimu because she'll eventually become tar. So 1 second. Are we going with the future or are we going with the right now? When we spoke about Havaya, when they talked about getting married, we said, no, Havaya is because right now they can get married. Now when it comes really Kaima, we say, well, we'll look into the future. But Marashach, if we're opening to look into the future, so look into the future for Kedushin also. This Ritva is L'chari, not like this Briskarov.
You can't have a Ru'uy L'Kaima, though, without a Yeshba Havaya. I mean, it only goes one way. I mean, you could have a case where Kedushin is Chal, but you can't stay married. Right?
Correct, sure.
But you can't have a case where you're allowed to stay married, but the kedushin is not chal.
Correct. That's true, but...
So that's why, so then looking at the future does, in a sense, because if you could look into the future and allowed to stay married, then of course they had to have been able to get married to begin with.
But still not it's still not necessarily the kayama.
Yeah, but I wanted the why. If I asked you the why, so the why is because in the future she'll become tar, so I can marry her now. The same reason why we're considered a destined relationship is because there'll be a time when you'll become tar. So this Ritva to me sounds a little bit not like the Biskarov, because according to the Biskarov could have said very posh. Do you know why she's Yesh Bahavaya? Because Nida is not about marriage. You know why she's really Kaima? Because Nida is not about marriage. She could stay married with no problem, except for obviously nitty-gritty technical problems.
Well, is the Ritva commenting on the Yesh Bahavaya or is he commenting on the Rui Lekaima?
He's talking about both. He's first.
So the first half.
So the first part he says Yesh Bahavaya because this
is.
No.
Right.
That's Basha Husham.
Right.
But when it comes to Yesh Bahavaya.
I think he's commenting on this is Ru'uy
Hilakaimah. Right. So when he's talking about.
To do with the,
no, my question is when it comes to Yesh Bahavaya, why did you say the same thing? Efshe Lechashitah. Like Ubshtaim, it's Kashan Rashi. So Lechari, this Ritva seems a little bit not like the Biskarov. That he understands that Anita's Matziv is very much relevant to her losing that title, not because that title is never on in the first place.
Yeah. Okay. Are we saying that the Roy Lekaima has to be the same as the right now? Because if that's the case, then that would be a problem. Because Anita is also not Roy Lekaima. In other words, because right now you can't marry her. Are the two connected?
Oh, that's not true. You could marry Kedushin. Gemara says in Kedushin, Tzvi says Kedushin is by Anita.
No. What I'm saying is the Kedushin and the Roy Lekaima at any point connected?
Yeah, Roy Lekaima means you're able to stay married based on the Kedushin that you made.
Okay. But it doesn't have to do it to Maisa Bia, you're saying, right?
That's what we could debate.
Because if that's the case, then the Kedushin itself shouldn't be Chal if because you can't live with her.
Yeah, but the Gemara says already Kedushin is Chal to Anita. That's not right. The debate. The Gemara is a special drasha. That Kedushin is Chal by Anita. The question is, what does it mean Roy Lekaimai? Roy Lekaimai means we let this relationship continue in what way? In a marital relationship or in a physical relationship? It definitely can't mean physical. You can't be physical right now while she's Anita. Terry said, because in the future she'll be able to be physical. So what?
So maybe Roy Lekaimai just means you don't force him to divorce.
Oh! So then why does it marry? Why does it matter because they shouldn't go to the mikveh later? Why does that mean that's goofy why we don't force them to break up? According to the Biskarov, I'd say the reason why we don't force them to break up is because their marriage we have no problem with. Not because she'll go to the mikveh. Maybe she won't go to the mikveh. But we have no problem with two people getting married under Nida and not touching each other. Okay, it's a It's just a horror that...
In the case where the wife refused to go to the mikveh, we would?
She'd be a meredes, right. And in that case, she becomes a meredes. But I wouldn't say the lomis naturally comes back to being an erva. The reason why we force it is just for practical purposes. Okay, so let's move on a little bit. We're a little behind schedule because this is all from 2 weeks ago. And Moshe Sternbach in the Sefer Pshat V'Ion has a quote over here from a Minchas Chinuch in the Sefer Kaimetz HaMinuch, which I couldn't find, but it just connects to the sugya we learned last sugya. He quotes the kash like this. He says, number six, he writes, Mevi Das HaRambam, they quote a Rambam, the Yesh Isser L'chadchila L'kadish Nida. Although we don't practice this, we do L'chadchila M'kadish and Nida, but the Rambam held L'chadchila, you shouldn't be M'kadish and Nida. Even though the Gemara says Kedushin is Taifis to a Nida, it's not a question. But it's better not to. It's better to wait until she becomes Tar. That's the Rambam Sheet. Listen to this. Where did the Rambam see that? The Rambam got it from the Gemara. The Hush, we call Arayis. The Gemara compares all the Arayis. Now again, if we ever learn the third parak of Kedushin thoroughly, we'll have to come back to this, Blinether. But he seems to be saying that Lamaisa the Gemara calls a Nida an Erva. So even though with all the Torah that is said, again, this might not work with the Biskrov either, but to go to Chathchila, be Mekadosh and Erva, we tell you, like, that's not the thing to do. Even though, again, the Kedushin is Chal, and he and her, and all the Torah, but the Rambam felt that Chathchila, you shouldn't go be Mekadosh and Nida, if all bets are equal.
Push off the Chas. Saying this on his own, or he says he felt the Gemara felt this?
He felt that, I didn't see it inside, I couldn't find this Rambam, but it seems to say that he held that based on the Gemara, from the fact that the Gemara keeps on calling Anida and Arayas, it's very hard to imagine he should go to the Chathchila, Mekadosh and Arayas. So according to the Biskarov, it's not true. According to the Biskarov, it's an Arayas of relationship, not an Arayas of marriage. So there'd be nothing wrong with making the marriage. But okay, so let's see what he says. Umash Mashom Medivarov, Dezeu Dinda Arayasa. Unbelievable. So din deraisa, lechatchila mid deraisa, you should not marry. This is what, remember we spoke about this weird phenomenon, that you have a din deraisa lechatchila, but b'dieved it's okay? Where did we learn this? By Be'ul L'Kohen Gadol, we had such a thing. We had by Be'ul L'Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says in Yevamos, that mid deraisa, if a Kohen Gadol is ma'anis of besula, that he's allowed to stay married to her. Lechatchila, he's allowed to stay married to her, but b'dieved he's allowed to stay married, but lechatchila, he should divorce her. So what do you mean, L'chatchil, but it's the Torah talking. What does Hashem want from you? Does he want you to stay married? He doesn't want you to stay married. So we tumbled with this concept that's found in Taisvis, that's found in the Gemara, that you have a situation where the Torah says that I want you to prefer to do this way, but I'll accept the other way. So says the Ramash Tamechir also, Avada, the Torah says you're allowed to marry a Nida. But the Torah also said I prefer you not to marry her if she's a Nida. Fine. Ulechayra misuya mashma delekavase. Now why is our Gemara mashma not like this Rambam? Where do you see from our Gemara against this Rambam? So he comes up with a Gevalda Gachap. He says, if you remember, we had a taste with Rabbeinu Chananel, the Kivin Shalach Atchil, the Yisabul Bu'ulas Atzmar. I brought this in because it was a Gevalda chance to chazer a little bit from 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Rabbeinu Chananel learned the Gemara. If you remember, we had a Gemara, Bu'ul Kohen Gadol. Okay? Lucky there's no test here, right? I'm lucky there's no test because I'd fail. But there's a Machloikis Mishayim, how to learn the Gemara, Bu'ul Kohen Gadol. What was the case of Bu'ul Kohen Gadol? I remember when I was a Bacha, I used to think that Rabbeim who say shir, remember every shir they ever gave. I learned very quickly that's absolutely not true. I can't remember anything. If not for why you told me, I wouldn't remember anything I ever said. I listened to myself. I probably don't remember what I said from year to year, week to week. So Baruch Hashem, we have ways of remembering things. But maybe one day we'll chazer here. That'd be nice. But in any case, the Gemara says,
we gotta get further.
We gotta learn a little bit. The chazer is really good. It's one of the mistakes Yeshiva Baruch make, and myself included. When you're Yeshiva Baruch, you don't want to chazer. You just want to keep on learning more, new. When you get older, you realize how important chazer is. That separates, in my opinion, the Gedolim from the non-Gedolim, the chazering. You can have a guy who's a super genius. If you don't chazer it, it's gone. It has no meaning because the more you learn things, you appreciate it more, and you have a deeper understanding of everything.
I think Moshe used to say that's why you still learn Shas every year. Yep. He doesn't remember.
You got to. It's essential. It's really okay. We got to find the time.
I have the same problem.
Yeah, we got to find the time in the day for it. But okay, so we had a machlokes with Shaim. How to learn the Gemara Be'ulah LeKohen Gadol? Does Be'ulah LeKohen Gadol means that the Kohen Gadol was ma'anis a girl who was already a Be'ulah? Or was the Kohen Gadol ma'anis a girl and he turned her into a Be'ul? Those are two machlokes Rashi Abayin Chanan. So if you learn over, if you remember, Taisha told us the kivan shlechatchil. The problem over there, the problem with Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat was that if you were the one who lived with her and turned her into a Be'ula, so the Gemara says in Yevamos that a Be'ulas atzmoi muteres, a Kohen Gadol is allowed to stay married to his own Be'ula. So if that's true, so why is it considered loy roi lekaima? So the Taisha explained that the kivan shlechatchil lo yisa Be'ulas atzmoi chashiv ein roi lekaima. Taisha said back in the Gemara over there, the top of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, that since the Torah preferably doesn't want you marrying her, even though the Torah allows it, but since the Torah didn't want it, we call that ein roi lekaima. Sefektu Moshe Sternbach. One second. If that's the criteria for Ruy Lekaima, and according to the Rambam, Lechatchila, you're not allowed to be Mekadish and Nida, V'imk, Nida the Asa, Afilu Kash Lechatchila, Koshkein Shetachshav, in a Ruy Lekaima. So he said, I don't understand this. So why don't we look at Nida the same way? If you told me the Torah doesn't really want me marrying a Nida, according to the Rambam, so she should really be considered Ein Ruy Lekaima, because Tosfos told me the rule of thumb is any woman the Torah doesn't really want you being married to is deemed Ein Ruy Lekaima. And since the Rambam was mechadish that the Torah doesn't really want you marrying a Nida, imkein, so umadua amar Rav Chisda kol ma'id mabal anida shemeshal knas. How can you mean everyone holds you pay knas? What do you mean everyone? It's not true. Because if the rule of thumb is anyone the Torah doesn't want you preferably marrying is considered Ein Ruy Lekaima, so she should be considered Ein Ruy Lekaima. So says Rav Moshe Sternbach, what tzarich lemer, you're going to have to answer. Lefizeh, demasha osa haram lekash lechatchila, hainu rak midarabanan. He wants to come up that no, it's not midaraisa. It's only midarabanan. Midaraisa, there's no problem to marry Nida. It's strictly midarabanan. Therefore, that's why it's not considered Ein Aruya, while the case of Bu'ul Kohen Gadol is considered Ein Aruya.
Was originally Rav Sternbach saying that he thought the Rambam was saying
He presumed, yeah, he felt that the Rambam must be, then he had a problem with our Gemara, so he had to kvetch and say it must be the Rambam.
Rambam didn't say anything.
I guess the Rambam is not clear in his wording of how he felt. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara for a second, then we'll come back to over here. The Gemara says, Omar Rav Chisda HaKol Moedim HaBoal Anida. Everyone agrees that if you boil Anida Mishem Mishalim Knas, you have to pay Knas. Why? Lamanda Omar Yesh Ba'avayi. If it's about getting married, Hanami Yesh Ba'avayi, there's Kedushin to Anida. Lamanda Omar Ru'i Lekaim. If it's about staying married, Hainami Ru'i Lekaim. This woman is also considered Ru'i Lekaim. Fine. Says the Gemara, Ula Fuke Midrev Nechunya Ben Akana. This is to come against from Nechunya Ben Akana. Now there's a big Machoikis Mishainim. Hopefully we'll get to later today. To Rashi and Tosfos, how to read these words? Ulafuke midrav nechunya ben akana. Rashi learns ulafuke midrav nechunya ben akana is saying that this rav nechunya ben akana argues on our entire mission. Tosfos learns this ulafuke midrav nechunya ben akana is Reb Chisda talking.
On Reb Chisda.
All right, Reb Chisda, who says that abal anida is chayiv knas, doesn't work with the nechunya ben akana. Why? The Tanya, we learned in a Brice. And the Chunyim Ben Akona, he always says, Yom HaKippurim Ki Shabbos Tashlum. And the Chunyim Ben Akona held Yom Kippur is like Shabbos with payments. Ma Shabbos, Mishchai Bin Avshay, Yipat Melech Tashlum. Just like by Shabbos, we know there's a rule called Kim Leib Adirav Mineh. A person only gets one punishment. Doesn't get two punishments. We'll have to obviously delve into this on so many different levels. But the Gemara says there's a thing called Kim Leib Adirav Mineh. What's the classic example of Kim Leib Adirav Mineh? A guy rips someone's shirt on Shabbos while he's shooting him with a gun. So he has to pay for ripping the shirt, and he also has to get the death penalty for killing the guy. So we have a rule called Kim Le B'dirah Mineh, he doesn't have to pay the mominus. So the Gemara says, that's all true by Chayvi Mises Bezdin. What about Koris? Koris is not from a Bezdin, it's from Hashem. So if Yom Nechunya Ben Akona has this Chiddush, then no, Koris is the same thing. He made eating on Yom Kippur, or doing Malacha Yom Kippur, which is a Koris, just like Shabbos. Just like by Shabbos, if you'd have a chiyuv misa with a chiyuv mamonis, you'd be potter. So the Nechunya Ben Akona is introducing us to a new concept. He's introducing us to the concept of kimle b'derab mineh, not by chayv misa's bezdin. Till now, we have a concept of kedei rishasoi, that bezdin can only give one punishment. It's either the death or the payment. You can't get both, and it's even malchus and the money, not both. Ain't a loyku mishalit. But Rav Nechunya Ben Akona is saying, I take it a step further. What happens? It's not Bezdin. This is God, Hashem. Hashem gives karis, Bezdin can't give payment. So therefore what? So this Rav Nechunya Ben Akona can't work with what? So let's see Rashi.
One second, Rabbi.
Yeah.
Let's back it up to Rashi. When Rav Chisda says, I call modim v'val and idisham sham knas, the man di amar, right? When he's referring to that, who are you paying the knas to? Ananida. You're paying it to the woman, Mashikoni, Shikonabal. Who are you paying
the knas to? Why is she married? Why is she married? She's not married. That was the Rabbi Kvega. That's the Vilna Gaon brought from. Anita's not married.
You know, it's Tam Anita.
Yeah, that's what we brought out. We spoke about this 2 weeks ago. That the Gaon brings a raya from our Mishnah that Anita is not also only if she's married. Anita's also even if she's not married.
Okay, so it's talking about a single Nida because it's not talking about your wife.
Nope.
And it's certainly not talking about Yenim's wife because
that was the Vilna Gaon's raya. Because Yenim's wife would be Chayv Mises Bezdin because she's Eish Ish.
Okay.
That's his raya against what we spoke about on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Forgot already who has it said that maybe the Isser Nida is only on your wife, on someone else's wife. But if a single girl, there is no Isser Nida.
Okay.
So the going would arrive from our sugi, not like that.
That's why we have to chazen.
Yeah, 100%. So kind of that sugi we did twice. We did when we started the mission of how many weeks ago, and we did it again 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
so let's see Rashi. So that we talk about the Shulchan Aruch. So Zakrashi Ulafukin and Nechunya. Who's lafuke b'dvei b'chonis? That Rashi masnisin. Our Mishnah, the mechayev. When Rashi number two, the mechayev tashlumin lavei alachoisoi. Forget nida, says Rashi. Achoisoi. If you remember our Mishnah, which we learned I don't know many weeks ago, this is Shir Chavches, so that's probably a while ago, right? The Mishnah had a whole list of people at the end of who yechayev kanas. One of them is your sister. If a guy lives with his sister, that's a chayev krisus. So why are you paying kanas to your sister? What happened to Kim Levi Draminei? So the answer is that's because our Mishnah doesn't hold of Kim Levi Draminei Bechayvi Krisis. So Nechunya Ben Akon, who says there is Kim Levi Draminei Bechayvi Krisis, doesn't work with our Mishnah. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. That this Rav Nechunya is going back on our Mishnah. Our entire Mishnah does not work in Nechunya Ben Akon's world. Why? Because we have a whole list of women in the, now, Nida happens to be one of them. Nida, Achoisa, a whole list of women that are all Chayvi Krisis, and according to Nechunya Ben Akon, you wouldn't have to pay for Chayvi Krisis because you'd have Kim Levi Draminei. Now, it comes out something interesting. Comes out according to the Nechunya ben Akana. Let's say Nida, for example. A person's ma'anis a Nida. According to the Nechunya, he's pater. Why? Because he's getting kares for living with a Nida. Kares for living with a Nida, he's pater because of Kim Levi D'Rabimini. Let's just finish up Rashi and we'll see why this presents a problem. Now, do we pasken like the Nechunya ben Akana? Halacha l'maisa?
No.
Most Rishonim pasken not like the Nechunya ben Akana. The Rama pasken like the Nechunya ben Akana. There's one minority opinion Rishonim, which we don't follow. That again, this is Negea on Yom Kippur. It's a guy on Yom Kippur. Let's say a guy beats another guy up on Yom Kippur. He beats him up, he kills him, whatever he does. Does he have a right to money in the bezdin on the clothing that he ripped? So if you hold it from the Chunya ben Akana, the Chunya ben Akana says, no, there's Kim Levi D'Rabimini on that. According to us, there's no Kim Levi D'Rabimini. So the Ramah Pasuk is not like in the Chunya ben Akana. But we'll see in a second how the Chunya ben Akana Shita is relevant, at least in Lomdisha purposes. Let's just finish out the Rashis. So Dr. Rashi, S. Yom Kippur Kishabas, Liptor, Hamadlik, S. Agodish, Yom Kippur. Let's say a guy burns a Godish on Yom Kippur. Ki'ilu had likah b'Shabbos, as if he burnt it on Shabbos. Ma Shabbos, shehu Mises Bezdin. Again, what's unique about Shabbos? Shabbos is an example of Mises Bezdin. Potem et ha-shulim in k'detani masis in gabe ba'al abito, v'yafin alo emelo, yi ha-osin yi onish yeno, yi sh... Avya mekipurim, shehu b'karis, chi of nefesh, hu zeh, u potem et ha-shulim. Again, we'll get to the Blinadu in the Gemara, who told him the Chunya ben Akana this. How does the Chunya ben Akana know that there's Kim Levi D'Amini and Chayvi Krisis? So we'll see the Gemara has various pshatim. We'll hopefully get to that. Now, there's a kasha that I was waiting for someone to ask me. It's a very good kasha. That according to the Chunya ben Akana, if you're boyo, if you're honest, a nida, you're potter. Why? Because Chayvi Krisis Kim Levi D'Amini. So why can't it be every time a guy's honest a girl, let him claim she's a nida? Chacha Safik nida. You prove me she's not a nida. And if she's a nida, I'm potter from paying you.
That's only if it's a suffix.
Why is it not a suffix? It's at least a suffix. It's at least a suffix.
Yeah, but that doesn't help. You can't, Kimley works on a suffix.
Does anyone remember what we spoke about? Rabbi Chonon Wasserman has a shayla based on Rabbi Kiveger about whether or not there's Kimley B'Jamin in a suffix. We talked about it. We'll come back to it, hopefully. But Frekti Achroinim, why can't the... Again, we're talking about in the world of Amoitz Mechavel of Araya. You want me to pay. Right? You want me to pay. So you come to me and you say, you were minus my daughter, you owe me money. I say, no, I was minus your daughter, but she's a nida. Nida, I don't have to pay. Again, only in the quantum of the Chunya ben Akana. The Chunya ben Akana holds Chayv Krisis, you potter from Kim Levi Rabimini. So, for the Achroinim, why?
Also, doesn't Kim Levi Rabimini only work when one's a Chiyav Karis and one's a Din of Mominus?
Yeah.
But here, they're both Isur.
What do you mean?
Because, in other words, the whole Mominus comes out because of the Isur. So, even though it's a Din of Mominus, but the Mominus stems from the Isur because of what you did. It's just the Totsah of it.
And a madlin because a godish is not like that.
No. Meaning when you go ahead and you stab somebody, right? So you, at the end of the day, what are you doing? You're killing the guy, yeah. Right? And mameli, you're doing that's the yisur. And mameli, you're doing the moment.
That's why I pick
here. Case. It's both. Here it's both.
That's
the same.
What I said. Madlin because a godish. Let's talk about the case where you burn down the guy's field.
Okay.
So then you did the same thing. You burnt the field, which is Asun Shabbos, and you destroyed his field, which is Chiyav Mamonos. Now, you know.
So did you say Kimlay in such a
case? That was the case Rashi quoted.
But is this really the case of Kimlay? Because the Isser Mamon and the Chiyav Kari is not coming at the same time.
Okay, good. That's one major thing we have to talk about. When is the Chiyav? But I was waiting.
It's all at the same time.
Yeah, I was waiting for someone to tell me the obvious difference is that this. What type of Mamonos is this? It's Knas money. Knas money is maybe all different world.
Well, like a Gemara later.
Right. So I don't want to ruin the ending for everyone. But is,
neither did I.
Right. Is it possible to say, and we'll see there's a Gevaldik some safer about this, is it possible to say that we're dealing with a whole different circuit over here? We're dealing with Knas money. Maybe Knas money rules completely different. So let's see. So this kash is asked by the Sefer Levush Yesha. Probably not one of the more popular Svarim. The Levush Yesha was written by a Yid named Rabbi Shaya Epstein. Now he's not so famous. His son is very famous. Who was the son of Pinchas Epstein? Who was a Pinchas Epstein? Who's the head of the Haredis in Eretz Yisrael. till the mid 1950s, 1960s. He led the Eidah Charedis. People don't know the Sami Rebbe used to was once for a while was the head of the Eidah Charedis in
Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, he came to visit. They liked him so much. They wanted to meet you for Rabbi of Jerusalem. Okay, got to start with the Sami Rebbe's Eisik. Kind of bothers me. I was listening to something this week where someone said, you know, why does, you know, they're talking about Gedolim who never had children. Someone said, how can it be so many Gedolim like the Sami Rebbe never had children? The Sami Rebbe had 3 daughters. It's not factually true. People like to make up history. The Sami Rebbe had 3 daughters. I don't know why people like to make up things. Yesh Me'ayin. Sami Rebbe had children. He had 3 daughters.
According to some sheikhs, that's he had no children.
it's mamash the peloton. But in any case, so the Sami Rebbe was also on the Eidah Charedis. But this with Pinchas Epstein, his son, had a gavaldik chiddush, which the Eidah Charedis did not like. He held that potatoes are kidneys. We spoke about this once in Halachah. Why is potatoes taka not kidneys? They probably should be kidneys, at least according to one of the ways the Rishonim define kidneys. So when he left Eidah Charedis, they went back to the old fashion of accepting kidneys of potatoes not being kidneys. But this is Lavosh Yesha is the father. He was a rav in different parts of it in Europe. He was close with the Meir Simcha, and he ultimately moved to Eretz Israel. So this is his father's. He's the father of Pinchas Epstein, who's perhaps more famous than his son. But he brings down this kasha. Every time a guy's ma'anis a girl, why can't the father, the ma'anis claim, alam nisha guy, the guy's a dirtbag, but he's alam nisha guy, he claims, maybe you're a nida, if you're a nida, prove to me that I owe you the money, at least according to Menachem Ben HaKan. Hamaitzim Echavel Avaraya. Now, Michael pointed out, which is right, we spoke about this, we'll have to come back to it, is there Kim Lev Dramini if it's only a Suffolk? Does Kim Lev Dramini kick in if it's a Suffolk? Meaning you don't know if she was a nida, so you don't know if you're going to get covers. You don't know, again.
God giving the
punishment. Right, so here's the shikul trick. Okay, it's karis. So the guy's his whole life is a b'matzav of a suffix. So is there suffix misa? Do we still say kim d'ramini b'lineder? Probably next week we'll see Rabbi Chonon Wasserman discuss that. But let's see how he brings down this kasha. So he quotes this kasha from different svarim which I'm not familiar with. I couldn't get hold on. He quotes over here b'amahasev number 7. Ha'ba'amahasev choyvers idea harav the astrin shechoyis nehagayim b'tveres Yaakov al mishnayis k'suvus peizayin omer b'zeh. But he asked his kash. He said, oh, we have to say that the girl didn't yet reach puberty, that it's time for her to get her nida. How do you know? I guess you took the girl to the doctor, you found out. Like, you know, the truth is today it's Efshul Levar.
What? So what kind of knas is there?
Well, the knas has nothing to do with the fact that she got her nida yet. As long as she's 12, she gets it. Girls blossom later, right? Some girls blossom earlier, blossom later, right?
So she was. So b'va al nida, even if she never saw her nida, or just that we assume she saw.
No, no, we don't know she's a nida. The ma'anis
fake.
No. The ma'anis wants to be an ibul chacham. The ma'anis wants to come. The guy ma'anis a 12-year-old girl. He comes back to the father and says, "I don't owe you a dime. Why? Because I hold like a mechunyan ben akana that there's kim le'ramine. So I'll get God will strike me down, but I won't have to pay you."
Why do you also say there's a sphinx? There's a suffix if there's there's a suffix if there's caris, and then there's a suffix if she ever saw nidus in her life. Because you could
that's
be
mahalik. That's the same suffix. That's the same suffix. No. Was it two sphinx?
Yeah, but I'm saying, why can't you divide it up?
The question is, I'll start again. Let's get the kasha out. So the guy comes to the father and says, I don't owe you a dime because your daughter was a nida and bal anida and pater. So the answer that they bring down over is, no, we knew that she didn't get her period.
No, why can't you say, you don't know if it's that time of the month, and you don't know if she ever saw a nida.
No, so that's what we have to talk about. If once she got a nida, there's no reason to think it went off. Once she got a nida, there's no reason for her, unless she was married, there's no reason why she'll take that tumah off. So if you assume she's a nida, meaning your average 12-year-old girl is a nida until things change, we'll see. We'll bring down such a teretz in a second. So that's one teretz. That's a very big deichik. Then he says, "V'shuvcha b'chovshi oyd sham isi b'chaveras." He found another, you know, pamphlet. I guess Shirav Acher Kostel the teretz. Shemayu shebotka oysay noshim. This is probably the most simplest answer. They checked her. V'nimtza sheros a nida v'nischazkol l'toma atchaposkol irois v'tfilu v'nischazkol l'tahara. So they checked her. They knew that she already got her period. I don't exactly know when they checked it, but they knew she had a period, and therefore when she becomes a nida, that doesn't go off until she goes to the mikvah. Therefore, nothing changed. V'yeshel hoisei, then he gives his own teretz, which I think is probably the best answer. T'mishkachas l'babas koyin. What's our kasha? We don't know if this girl's a nida or not. The answer is yeah, but there are some girls that you would know their status. Abas koyin. V'reinu aichelos b'trumah. We see she's eating trumah. So it must be that she's eating truma, so we know right now she's in a matzif of tahira. So, man, you know, 5 minutes ago she's eating truma. Again, you can always argue. I guess it happened, mom's right now, but that's already maybe too schwer. I don't know. But I think his teretz is probably the nicest teretz. His teretz is that you see her eating truma. That's a giveaway that she's tahira. And then you manas her, so then we don't assume she's an
issue. She was eating truma, it's probably good. Ace lays, she's checked, and it's probably okay. You're not going to say 5 minutes later.
Right. I don't think you have to go as a vite. So I found in the Sefer Siach Hasad, Siach HaTorah, written by Shail the Asub Chaim Kanevsky. I don't think there's too many times we quote Chaim Kanevsky in our Gemara Shurim, but they asked the Shail to Chaim Kanevsky. They asked him. If you hold like in the Chunyah ben Akana, the Chayvi Krisus has Kimlei, Imkin call Oynusum Mefate, Shema Hinito. Maybe every Oynus Mefate, maybe she's a Nito. Ubefrat the Stam Besulas Becheskas Nito, and he makes the Kash even stronger. Your average 12-year-old is very likely that she already got her period. Vimkin, any Choy Lohitzi Menu, Haknas, how do you ever make the guy pay? Mamish this Kasha that we saw.
But that's only if you hold like.
According to Halach, it's not a kasha. It's a kasha just for lomdus, because we don't pass like in the Chunya ben Akana. It's according to Ibn Chunya ben Akana, it should come out that you should never ever be. His kasha is, according to Ibn Chunya ben Akana, no one should ever have to pay oinus. He should always be able to claim Shema Nida Hayy. Maybe you're Nida, and I'm Patras, Kim Levi Rabbi. That's the kasha. So he writes over here, again, it's so shorthanded. Ein Chayiv Ella al Naira, Vestam Naira Ein a Nida.
He writes his tshuvas and gemara like he does on himself.
I don't get it.
Because the whole thing is a joke. Why is he even answering on a sheet that we don't hold?
Yeah, but I don't get the answer. The answer is, the kasha was, your average girl at this age gets a nida, and his answer was, no, Nairos don't get their nida yet.
Right, the average girl doesn't.
I'm missing some purple over here, right? Like
he holds it.
I guess his
12.
Right. His answer is, you don't have to suspect.
He holds them in the tzias, or maybe not even.
Right, so Lefiza, how do you learn the Mishnah when the Mishnah says, Abal nida? It's a case where you dafka know she was a nida. Man, you have to change the whole learning of the sugya according to this. I mean, you don't stam as they assume that a 12-year-old has a nida. Lefiza, when it says in the Mishnah, habal nida make you chabe edim, you have a yediyah berurah that she was a nida. Okay. Okay, fine. Yeah. I'm not saying it's against anything, but it just comes out to me. I think the kasha is a very gevaldik kasha. One more gishmak kasha, according to the Chunya ben Akana, is from the Kava de Kashisa. If you remember, we've quoted from the Kava de Kashisa before. The Kava de Kashisa was the Chelkas Yoyev. Chelkas Yoyev. He lived in the early 1900s. He was a Talmud of the Avdei Nezer. So he wrote a sefer called Kava de Kashisa because he has 103 questions. Kava is a gematria 103. So he has 103 kashas that he has on Shas, and that's why he called the sefer called Kava de Kashisa. Okay? He has another more popular sefer that's learned Lahalacha, Chelkas Yoyev, Shas and Truva sefer. He lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the Talmud of the Avdei Nezer. Rav Shechter always says to be a Talmud of the Nezer, you have to be a super genius. So I guess he was a super genius. I don't know. Okay? But we learn his svarim, Chelkas Yoyev is somewhat more learned, but his Kavad Kashis is really only learned in alumnus. So his kasha is like this. He says he has a whopper of a kasha. He says, 1 second. According to him, the Chunya ben Akana, there's Chayvei Krisus has Kim Lebid Rabbi Midi. Fine. The Gemara seems to say that the Chunya ben Akana can't work with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah has a whole list of women that are all Chayvei Krisus, and you still have to pay them the knas. Now, there's a big machloikis Rishayim. What happens, according to the Chunya ben Akana, if you have a case where someone lived with a Chayvei Krisus b'shoigig? So it's Chayvei Krisus b'shoigig. I mean, you're not going to actually get the curse because it was accidental, but it's Chayvei Krisus b'shoigig. Is there Kim Lebe Diram Mnei on a Chayvei Krisus b'shoigig? Chayvei Krisus b'shoigig. Now, there's another halacha which we'll talk about. What about Chayvei Mises Bezdin b'shoigig? Let's say a guy does a malach on Shabbos accidentally. So that's a Chayvei Mises Bezdin, but it's done b'shoigig, so there's also Kim Lebe Diram Mnei there. So, Frek,
how's the Chayvei Krisus b'shoigig on Arias? You don't know that she's related to you?
She thought it was you. You ever saw two sisters who look alike? You thought your people married? You don't know. The house is dark. I don't know. Whatever the case. The Gemara Mishnais and Yavam is like this. Krisus. All over you. You thought it was your wife. Mishnais and Krisus. Mishnais and Yavam is. Krisus, that's right.
No, that's by Nida.
But Nida's also Chayvei Krisus. Oh, you thought she was your wife. It was the sister. There's no practical Misa. There's a Sibas HaMisa without
a Misa in this.
That's right. That's right. That's what we're going to have to come back to when we learn. We'll get into this. This is really us plunging into the subject of Kimlei Dramini. So Frank, the Kavad Kashi is number 9. This is a doozy Kasha. The Kasha. The Hod, the Shanidim, the Mesechus, Ksubis, the Masis, and the Eonari, Sheshlam, Knas. Afa, Mishesh, Gam, Bekaris, Ozli, the Loikim, the Chunyim, and Akono. The Potam, Imam, and Afa, Mimakim, Karis. Because again, what did the Gemara say? That our Mishnah doesn't work with the Chunyim, and Akono. Because according to the Chunyim, and Akono, you would not have to pay Knas on a Karis. He says, why? If you hold like those Rishonim, that a Mechuyim Ben Akana hold, you actually have to get the Karis to be exempt from the Mammon. It's not enough to be theoretical. It's not enough to be Shoigig. It's got to be Lamaisa. So imkein v'loy shaygig tein chiyuv kares b'poil. So listen to this doozy of a kasha. I love the way he thinks. Well, if he's there, everyone knows, right? Ask any kid in school, what age the chayv krisa start? 20. We actually talked about this when we learned the laws of the Mila. If anyone remembers, we know that everyone says, when does kares start? Not before 20. That's why many people have a practice. They fast on their 20th birthday. Because 20 is when a person's shaykh to have kares, so you want to fast on your 20th birthday. It's brought down some svarim, it's maybe even brought down in Mishainim. But that's why the Maram Shik has a tshuva. That's why people don't wear, the minhag used to be not to wear kittel the first year you got married. What was the minhag not to wear kittel the first year you got married? Because it used to be that you'd get married at 18. So the first year you married, you were still under 20. So if you're still under 20, you don't have to be so afraid about Misa yet because you're not eligible for Misa's Chayv Krisus. Then you get married at 22. They still don't wear the kittel the first year. Okay, fine. That's it's a minhag today. I'm not going to fight the minhag. But back then, the question is, why doesn't younger people wear kittel? So I still talking to Sefer because you only got a kittel because you got married. So 15, you didn't get married, so you didn't wear a kittel. That was it. That's why kittel was only when you got married. But in any case, so Frektim Agavaldik Akashim. According to the Chunya Merakona, a boy from 13 to 20 can do all the ma'anis mafata that he wants. He'll never have to pay. He should have to pay, according to the Chunya Merakona. And the Chunya Merakona says that the Mishnah talks about all these cases of a chayvi krisis. I have a very simple akimta. I'm making a akimta that the guy was 15 years old when he was ma'anis to girl. He's 15, he's not eligible for karis yet. If he's not eligible for karis yet, he's not a bar karis. There's no kimle. So it's the guy in the gachap. So refract the chalkas yoyev. He says, well, if he's a gam kot and pachas m'ben chaf, she'ene chayv karis, lo yemi to be kimle. Afal im nuchon yemen akona. Ve'im kein shabim mishkachas lo afal libedim nuchon yemen akona. Chiv mom emasis in deilun iris. Okay, it's a cute kasha. What's his kasha? His kasha is that if you hold that there's no, that you need practical courage to be exempt the mumminess, and we all know, we'll see in a second if we're right, that there's no courage for someone under the age of 20, so it should come out that a boy between 30 and 20 who's ma'anis achavi krisis will not get courage. If he will not get courage, there's no kimle. If there's no kimle, then the Mishnah works very nicely. I'll make it a kimta in the Mishnah, hach b'mayaskina on kishahu between 13 and 20. That's his kasha. Okay.
Why does the Gemara say it can't work?
Right. I mean, the Gemara rejects from the Chonim HaKanav ever being in our Mishnah.
So is that a kifta just on the Nida case or
on
every other
case? On all the creases. On all the creases case.
That's crazy.
All the cases of creases will be between the ages of 13 and
12. That's a legitimate kifta you can make?
It's a cute kasha. Right. It's a cute, again, this is a cute kasha. Now, we spoke about this before, that there's a Gevaldik Tshuva from the Chacham Tzvi. Now, the truth is, now's not the time. The Chacham Tzvi was a fascinating person. Just from a personal lifestyle, he was just an unbelievable person to research, and I found him to be a fascinating person. You know, people talk about rabbinic contracts today. So when the Chacham Tzvi made his contract in Amsterdam in 1710, he wanted a 6-year contract. They wanted a 3-year contract. The Imam just duked it out. People say, oh, only Rabbanim today fight for their contracts. 300 years ago, Rabbanim were fighting for their contracts. He wanted more money. They didn't want to pay him so much money. So people think it's a new thing. Oh, Rabbanim today want a lot of money. Chacham Tzvi had a lot of kids. He had to pay his salary. He was tumbling in 1710. He was handling for his job. But there's a lot to talk about the Chacham Tzvi. Just that I'm a fascinating person. But his life is his whole essence is because his father was almost killed. His father, Chacham Tzvi's father, was named Yaakov. That's why his grandson is Yaakov Ender, was named for his grandfather. His grandfather was when the Chacham Tzvi's father was young, newly married. That was right around the Chmelnytsky 1648, 1649. And his father was taken by Cossacks, and they were about to kill him. And they were mamash holding, you know. And for some reason, they let him live. And he used to hide amongst the dead for a couple of days afterwards until things lay low. And after this whole thing, they thought he died, and they were going to be matter his wife to remarry. And they went to Heschel Krakow, who was the big dayan there, was the Rav of the Rebbe the Ramah, and he talked a pasuk mutter. We have Adam that saw the guy with the knife, you know, like nothing more to talk about. And they were matim, but his wife didn't want to get remarried. She was so young, she felt, I don't want to get remarried. And a few months later, he showed up. He survived. He survived the Cossacks. And Reb Henkin used to say, from this maisa, you have to be so careful when you matter agunas. You never know. So his father miraculously lived. Then when the Chacham Tzvi himself was older, he was married. And he was living, we're talking about the late 1600s. So there was a war taking place where he lived. And his wife and daughter were killed in battle, in the house. So he lost his first wife and daughter, and he survived. He married a second wife, and he had Rabbi Yaakov Ender. Just a fascinating, fascinating person. People think he's Svardi. Chacham Tzvi. Mm-hmm. He's an Ashkenazi Svardi. His last name is Ashkenazi. Chacham Tzvi Ashkenazi. His father, for some strange reason, no one knows why, he sent him to learn in Svardi Yeshivas. He learned by the Svardi when he was a bacher. So when you're a good bacher and they give you a title, they call you Chacham. So he became a Chacham Tzvi. A lot to talk about the Chacham Tzvi's life. Fascinating. Now, This is well known. This is always worth mentioning. Rabbi Yaakov Emden loved his father. Rabbi Yaakov Emden was probably 20-something when his father died, very young. But he writes in his manuscripts that his father wanted him to marry a certain girl who he did not like. And he married her just for his father, and he got divorced later.
Wasn't he married three times?
Yaakov Emden was married three times, yeah. So he writes about his first marriage was just to make his father happy. Just because,
Minsky today is on the bill, you know, in the Ukraine.
Well,
he's on the money.
Yeah. We spoke about him. Yeah.
So they have bastard Jew.
Yeah. They have a big
president.
He's a big. He's a big figure. He's got a whole.
And we have a whole bunch of Jews crying for Russia taking over Crimea.
Yeah. Ukraine. Okay, so let's see the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi, we saw this Chacham Tzvi before when we learned the Beloz the Mila. It's there. I don't remember which share it was. The Chacham Tzvi disagrees with this whole premise. He says it's not true. Everyone tells you when you're in elementary school you can only get cars when you're 20. It's not true. He says it's not true. It's a misreading of a Gemara. It's not true. It doesn't exist.
So what does that mean? You get it from 13?
Yeah.
You don't get
punishment? You can get everything from 13. The Chacham Tzvi thinks this whole notion is bogus.
Didn't it come from the Torah, from the counting?
You know, No. Well, Rashi. It's Rashi in Chumash. There's a steer in two Rashis in Chumash.
Right.
That's where it comes from. And it's really either Chafer, one is by Noyach, and one is by Avraham Avinu or something. I think we have one there. And there's a Gemara in Shabbos that reads like that. But again, the Chacham Tzvi, if you want to look it up, it's Shas Chuvas Chacham Tzvi Simim Mem Tes. Chacham Tzvi, we don't have much writing from him. We just have Shas and Chuvas Chacham Tzvi, which everyone knows. Everyone here, at least in this community, it's very popular. What's the famous Chacham Tzvi that everyone knows? Yom Tov She'ini. Everyone knows that. They never know who. They don't know anything about the Chacham Tzvi. They think he's Sfardi. But when it comes to Yom Tov She'ini, they're a Talmud from the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi says, if you go to Eretz Yisrael for Yom, you only keep one day. Everyone knows the Chacham Tzvi. They don't know anything else about his life. Garnished with garnished. Now, one other psak in the safe. They don't even know what a safer is. But they know. They go on the Chacham Tzvi. He kind of has other big coolers about. We spoke about this, about Tovli. Kalim, Akasher and Kalim, if they're over 12 months, he holds you don't have to Kasher them. They lose all their blias after 12 months, even at the Rabbanim level. He has a lot of out-of-the-box ways of thinking. If anyone ever been to London, not that I've been, in the Jewish Museum in London, there's a picture of the Chacham Tzvi. And that's a big tumult how they got a picture of the Chacham Tzvi.
Drawing.
Oh, okay. Because that's a very unique picture. And how he ended up in London this time is unique. But in any case, they have a picture. If you go today, you can go online. It's what they say, it's one of the prides of the museum today. But they say it's mostly for the ultra-Orthodox community, it's a pride. You know, I guess non-religious don't care much about the Chacham Tzvi. But it's a picture. And the way they got the picture was because they hid. The one who made the picture was hiding. Like, you know, he was saying the Chacham Tzvi was sitting here, and he was like hiding behind the, you know, Chayri Apargud, drawing the picture while the Chacham Tzvi wasn't watching. Because the Chacham Tzvi would never sit for a picture, for a pose. That's a pasnish. We're talking about the early 1700s. So it's a unique picture. If you go to London, take a look in the museum. But in any case, so the Chacham Tzvi writes, number 10, this notion that you're not chayv kares between the ages of 13 and 20, even though it's widely accepted by Rabbanim, he quotes all them by Yofet Torah, Parshas Chayesar, and Maral, Ein Daiti Noichaba, I don't agree. The Hechi Tochen, Oynisha, Unsha Torah, Al Oiver, Al Mitzvah, Oysa, Oiver, Al Mitzvah, Ba, the Chayva, the Malkas, Vabba Mises, Bezin, Shanem, Vasha, Hakaris, Akasaba, Loikoy, Allah. He says, how could it be? At the 13, you get Malkas, you get Mitzvah, but not Karis. It's very strange. So he rejects this whole Kasha, he throws the Kasha out. But the Kavod de Kashiso tries to work even in this world. Let's say Imtem Tzolayma, you hold, not like the Chacham Tzvi, you hold that a person does not get cars between the ages of 13 and 20. So why can't in the Chonim Ben HaKonis work with a Mishnah? So he comes up with two very Gishmaka Terutz. Number 11. Yesh Li Yashif. Then the Chonim Ben HaKonis Yalf, the Chavi Krisis, the Ptur Min HaTashum, and Mehekesh Lemisa. He says, one second. We don't have the Chonim Ben HaKonis know that there's Kim Le Dramani and Karis. He learned it from Chavi Mises Bezdin. The hashtag keeping the cars havoc my misa. Yeshlam gam came to commode the misa bebezin shalmata. Chayv bam yudgim oshano. Kamoi kain cars gam kain hachi. It's like a loophole. He says because the whole mikar that this kim neidu amir by chayv krisos is learned from misa bezin. And it says misa bezin starts at 13, so this will also start at 13. So meaning aim by el chadusha. If I'm learning out from misa bezin, I have to follow misa bezin. It says misa bezin starts at 13, this will also start at 13. His last answer is perhaps the most...
Even though
technically...
It doesn't work.
Exactly. But since the...
As a practical matter, you won't
exactly. Get it. But since the makor of this is learned from that, I have to follow that set of rules. But his last answer, I think, is perhaps the best. This is very lomdish. When it comes to, let's say, shoygeg, a person who does the isser b'shoygeg, he's not chayiv the penalty. It's just that he did a crime that if he would have done it, amazing, he would have got the penalty. Zogt him, when it comes to a 14-year-old doing chayv krisis, he's be'etzim deserving of karis. But we just don't give the punishment. But what we'll call the sibas hamechayev is there. Mashaykin is shoygig, there's no sibas hamechayev. You didn't do an act that comes along with the death penalty. Hey, you did an act.
Whereas if you're under 13.
All right, right.
So what happens if you're under 13? Are you going to say, well, so
that's not Mazei Shailo. How do you look at a katan? When a katan does an aveira, so Pashup Shad is that the Torah can't hold him accountable for what he did.
But the Siba of this Isser is there.
And that's why the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes at the end of Hilchas Shabbos, the Ramah says if a kid did an aveira b'shoygi, when he gets older, he should ask tshuva. I always tell my kids, if you hit your parents when you're little, when you get older, you have to ask me. I always tell my kids, you got to ask me mechil when you get older. Because even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't mourn you when you're little, but Rama writes, you got to do tshuva when you get older. So that's like the in-between. That's like the siba samachayiv is there, but it's not a practical. Now, why did the Torah not give karas between 13 and 20? I don't know. But his pshat is v'chayiv very gishmak. His answer is that since there is a siba samachayiv, so therefore you could have kumulated ramani. Mashenki by shoygeg, where you don't even have the siba sakaris or the siba samisa, then you would not say kumulated ramani. Okay.